Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Rochelle Travers, and this is The Leader. The Mayor of London has issued a warning about a different potential health crisis: congestion. Sadiq Khan says the capital could be overrun by filthy air and gridlock because of a shift towards driving during the pandemic. However, with the ongoing TfL funding crisis and fare increases on the horizon, what would attract more Londoners to opt for public transport? Also, with many of us working from home, but positive signs that COVID cases in the city are easing, can we expect a return to the office soon? The Evening Standard City Hall editor, Ross Lydell, has been speaking to Mr. Khan.
Sadiq, we're here in Leighton. You come to talk about low traffic neighbourhoods and so on and getting people out of the car, but you have the challenge in the next few weeks to decide what to do about tube and bus fares, and it's likely you're going to have to put those up. So how do you solve that problem of discouraging people from using private transport and use public transport that becomes more expensive?
Oh, it's a big problem. That's one of the reasons why we're saying to the government, don't micromanage how TfL runs. One of the things that Parliament decided in 1999 was to devolve to London the running of transport. That's what the GLA Act was about, and that's what Transport London was about. In the last 5 years, we've managed for the first time in TfL's history reduced operating costs year on year on a like-for-like basis, reduce our deficit by more than 71%, increased cash balances by 30%, whilst freezing fares, bringing in the hopper. More people using buses, tubes, the tram, the overground than would otherwise be the case. And unfortunately, TfL has a gun to its head from the government, who are making us do stuff which isn't in the best interest of TfL or London or the policies we're pursuing. But there are conditions attached to the short-term loan given by the government. Without the loan, without the support from the government, the grant, we can't run TfL. So the choice we have is to not accept the grant from the government, which means TfL having to cut services, which isn't good for public transport or encouraging people to use public transport. So look, one of the reasons why we've published these reports today is to show the cost of congestion, the cost of traffic to our city. Bad for business, bad for health, bad for the planet.
Is it likely you're looking at around a 5% increase on tube and bus fares from March, April time?
The condition currently with the government is RPI plus one, and the RPI figure used is the one, I think, back in autumn. And so you just add 1% to what inflation was back, and there's a date the formula works from. It's not RPI today, and that'll be fares increase that Londoners haven't seen over the last 5 years. Previous mayor would often increase fares at that amount. We've tried not to, because we do know if you can keep fares low, it encourages more people to use public transport, which actually brings in more revenues. So it makes economic sense to keep fares low. The good news, though, is because we froze fares over 5 years, actually, the compound benefit of that is the base we're starting from is far lower. We're still going to keep the hopper fare. What we're working on in TfL is making sure we can keep pay-as-you-go as cheap as possible, but also the daily cap as cheap as possible. We've got to realise that actually the way to encourage people to leave their cars at home is to make it as easy as possible to walk and cycle. Cycling now, we have more than 250 kilometres of cycle routes. We've increased the amount of pavement space across our city. We're going to keep the public transport the best in the world and, accessible, safe and affordable.
Now, the Plan B rules are due for review on January the 26th, and in particular, the work from home guidance. What's your feeling just now and where we are with Omicron, whether it feels like it would be good for work from home advice to be lifted and for people to be able to get back to the office?
I spoke this morning to my health team, and there is some really good news, which is although the number of cases is still very high and the case rate is still very high, the case rate is declining in London. Fantastic news. The number of positive cases is declining in London. Positive news. The other positive news is the admission rates in hospitals is going down. But also, when you compare and contrast today versus this time last year, those in hospital and those on ventilators is less. So I think it's right for there to be a review in a couple of weeks' time. I can't predict what's going to be the numbers in 2 weeks' time, but I'm touching every piece of wood I can see, hoping that the work from home rule goes, not simply because it's crucial for our economy in London, but I've seen the downsides of working from home in relation to mentoring young people, new people, but also the lack of, you know, creativity that's possible virtually versus, you know, face-to-face.
Can I just ask you finally about the cannabis pilot? Obviously, there was a bit of furore last week about the plans. Your office said at the time that MOPAC funding hadn't been agreed, but today I understand about 15 Tory London MPs are due to write to you to say, please, will you drop these plans for the three pilots? Now, what is the latest? Are you planning to go ahead with the pilot? And on your wider ambition of the London Drug Commission, where have you got to with that?
In relation to any pilots concerned, I've not received any recommendations. So all these hypotheticals, it's great party politics, knockabout stuff, but it's not dealing with the reality of the situation. So, you know, as and when a recommendation comes to me, I look into it. But I'm in favour of diversionary policies. You know, I don't think it's possible to arrest ourselves out of many things. So that's one of the reasons why we're investing so much in preventative measures in relation to violent crime. So let's wait and see what the recommendation is. In relation to the London Drugs Commission, there is a piece of work being undertaken by City Hall to get a terms of reference, to get an idea of what it would entail. I'm quite clear that this is not about, you know, decriminalising drugs. This is about looking into a piece of work with a recommendation, looking at lessons learned from overseas. You know, we're not Parliament. We can't change the law. What we can do, though, is to do a serious piece of work that may help influence what laws are going forward.
You can read more from Ross's interview with Sadiq Khan in the Evening Standard newspaper or online at standard.co.uk. And that's it from The Leader. This podcast is back tomorrow at 4 p.m.